Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
God, today we've been talking about the hidden mysteries of God found in the Bible. Hidden because they're hard to find, and mysteries because they're hard to figure out. And yet, the Bible says that God has declared them to us by his Son, and we can have an understanding of the things of God. You don't have to be in the dark any longer. And today, I want to talk to you about the mystery in love. The mystery in love. There was a very famous golfer by the name of Gary Player, great golfer. One time he was being interviewed, and he made a funny statement. It was kind of in jest, and he was joking. He said, you know, if I had to choose between my wife and my favorite golf club, well, I'd miss her. That night when he got home, his wife had taken one of his golf clubs out of his bag and put it in a slimpy little negligee and laid it in the bed for him to greet him when he got home. Now, this is a classic example of kind of the difference that we may have in our English language of what love is all about. Sometimes we can get it wrong in our priorities when it comes to the mystery of love. You know, I love hot dogs. I love pizza. I love my dog. I love baseball, right? And in the same breath, we'll say, but I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I love God. And yet God wants us to understand the mystery of his love. Today, I want you to turn to me Colossians chapter number 2 this time. Chapter number 2. We made it. A whole chapter in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 2. I want to take a look at three verses. Verse number 1 through verse number 3. And I want you to look at what it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Starting out, it says this. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Verse number 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Everybody say in love. And attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Verse number 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, at the time of this writing, Paul is in prison. He hasn't ever seen the church at Colossae. He just knows one of their laborers who'd come to him and reported to him about their lives and about the things that had happened. False teachers had come in and had been introducing destructive heresies to take them away from the simplicity of Jesus Christ, saying that he was a spirit, he was never a man. They denied the humanity of Jesus, denied that he ever touched the earth, denied these things that we know to be true about Jesus. He showed infallible proofs. People handled him. They touched him. Told Thomas, come and stick your finger here in my hands and put your hand in my side. He ate fish in front of them. They knew that it was Jesus. They knew that he had flesh and bone. Ghosts don't have flesh and bone like he had. Even though he could appear in the middle of a room. And yet these teachers came in denying the humanity and the lordship of Jesus Christ and saying that they could attain to something spiritually. And they had the name Gnostics. Now, Gnostic meaning knowledge, gnosis in the Greek language. So they called themselves ones who had knowledge. And they often said that if you could only get a hold of our knowledge, that mysteries would be open to you. And the Apostle Paul, knowing that, plays off of what the destructive heresies that have come into the church, he plays off of their words and says, if you want a real mystery, if you want real knowledge, it's found in Jesus Christ. You're going to find out the mysteries, but you don't have to attain to some knowledge and meditation and go through worship of angels and all this other foolishness that these guys were making the church go through in order to get to this secret hidden knowledge. He says it's been declared to us, it's been revealed to us, and it's been revealed to us in his Son. And the Apostle Paul, having not seen the church yet, still loves them. Loves them enough to pray for them, loves them enough to strive and to struggle and to strain in his prayers and in his affections towards them. Both the church at Colossae and Laodicea. See, Paul probably had been ministering at Ephesus, and Epaphras, one of the guys that lived in Colossae, heard the message, believed the message, was discipled and raised up and said, you know what, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell others about this. And he started a church there, and that church started to grow, and they started to see salvations, and things were happening. And now all of a sudden, here's Paul, and he's in prison, and Epaphras comes to him, and he starts to declare to him what's going on. And Paul says, man, I just love them, even though I don't know them. I still love them. And isn't there a mystery about love? See, Paul is moved by his love for the church. And love is a powerful force. We know that in our lives, right? How many movies have been made about love? How many songs have been made about love? How many books have been written all about love? How many stupid things have people done in the name of love? Come on, somebody. Some of you were that stupid too, right? You said, I was in love, Pastor. I get it. I get it. In fact, love is the most powerful force in the universe, because 1 John chapter 4 tells us that God is love. Now, if God's character, if God's nature itself is love, and if God is omnipotent, if he is all-powerful, then that means that love is the greatest force, the greatest power in the universe. And when we operate in love, we are operating in that power. Isn't that amazing? See, love will move things. Love is what moved God to send his son Jesus. See, sometimes we would wonder why. Why, God, would you do that? And yet, because God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Now, all of a sudden, it makes sense. Because the powerful force of love moved God to not leave us dead and dying and going to hell, but no, it's moved God to break from his side his son, send him to the earth to suffer and die for you and I, all for love. All because God loved us so much that he would not leave us to suffer and die and go to hell, but that we could give our love back to him, free will, and that we could be with him forever. Even in the natural, we see the power of love moving people to do amazing things. When I take a look at love, when I take a look at the characters of love, love will do some things. There's some things that I see in these verses that love will do. And today I want to give you those things because I think that if we understand what love will do, then as we operate in these things, it's going to change the world that we live in. Where maybe you were hitting a wall. Maybe you couldn't get a breakthrough. Now all of a sudden the power of love can break through that wall. Maybe you had a strained relationship and you were wondering, how can we reconcile? How can we get this back together? And yet the power of love can bring you back together and reconcile you. If you were wondering, what am I going to do with these kids? They're just doing their own thing. They've gone south. They're out of the house now. They're grown up, adult kids, or maybe they're teenagers. Come on, somebody, teenagers, right? I know I'm going into those seasons. Somebody pray for me and my wife. What am I going to do with these kids? Listen, the power of love can break through the generation gap. And where you have a deficit, love will come in and fill in the gaps. Come on, the power of love. There are some things that love will do. The first thing that I see that love will do is found in verse number 1 of Colossians chapter 2. He says, for all, I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. See, it was love that brought the Apostle Paul to a point of conflict. That word conflict is the same word that we talked about last week, agony. He says, I agonize over you in love. The first thing that I see that love will do is that love will endure conflict. Love will endure conflict. You know that you'll put up with somebody's foolishness if you love them. You will overlook an offense if you love them. You will go the distance. You will go the extra mile for someone. They may have asked you for so much, and yet they can continue to ask and continue to even use you. But if you love them, then you're going to continue on. Love will endure conflict. See, the conflict here was with false teachers. The conflict here was with distance. The conflict here was that he'd never seen them, and yet he still loved them. And love will wrestle with these conflicts. Love will go the extra mile. Love will spend time in prayer wrestling with God. God, I need you to bless them. God, I need you to protect them. God, I need you to do something. God, I can't be there. But Lord, I know your spirit is already there. And God, I want you to watch over them. Love will wrestle. Love will press. Love will stay up late at night and get up early in the morning. Love will endure conflict. But see, love will not only endure these conflicts, but many other conflicts as well. We can fight on. We can stay in the race. We can endure all things because of love. We see this even in the natural, what love in the natural will do. I want to introduce you to a man and his wife. The man's name is Luther Younger, and he is in love. And I want you to see what this 99-year-old man does every day, all for love. Watch the overhead screens.
An elderly man in Rochester, New York, walks 6 miles every day to see his wife in the hospital. She has a brain tumor and was admitted 4 weeks ago with pneumonia. CBSN's Caitlin O'Kane spoke to the man whose story may re-inspire your faith in love.
If you visit Rochester, New York, you're likely to spot a feisty elderly man making his way across town. His name is Luther Younger, and every day, rain or shine, he trudges 6 miles to and from Strong Memorial Hospital to visit the love of his life, Waverly.
That's my wife. She was my best friend.
Waverly was diagnosed with a brain tumor 9 years ago, and she's been in and out of the hospital ever since. But that won't keep Luther from her side.
I love her because she was tough. She wasn't easy. She was the type of person, if you didn't work, you got to go. And I had to work. And she helped me with all my kids. It wasn't none of her kids. And that's why I'm sticking with her, because if it hadn't been for my wife, I wouldn't have made it.
If he wanted to wait, he could get a ride from his daughter, Luthetta, even take the bus. But sometimes, love simply can't wait.
I don't want to wait on the bus. I want to go up there to see my wife.
The grandfather even runs portions of his journey, paying no mind to the heat.
Be careful, Luther, it's hot out.
My dad says that it keeps him alive, it keeps him going.
Decades into their marriage, he's still rushing to be by her side.
Get over there with my wife. Watch this. Baby, give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss.
And he's proud to note that his kisses still make her eyes flutter, even after all these years.
The best cup of tea I ever had in my life.
Yep, that's my cup of tea. He always uses that line. He's always cared about her the way he does. I mean, he loves my mom. He'll do anything for her.
Then, like he does every night, Luther makes a long trek home, certain that the next morning he'll turn around and do it all again. Why? Because she's his cup of tea. And really, in the long walk of life, what's 6 more miles?
'99 years old, walking the extra mile for the best cup of tea he ever had. Wow. My goodness. See, love will go the distance. Love will stay in the race. Love will endure any conflict, any distance, any trial, any challenge. Love will. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, probably the longest and most comprehensive definition of love that we get in the Bible. I believe the best definition that we give is in 1 John chapter 4, that God is love. That's probably the best definition and the most easy to memorize. And yet, I believe that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, we get the longest and most comprehensive definition of love, of what love will do and what love will not do. Right at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to read verse number 7 and the first part of verse number 8. But I want to read it to you in the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible just says it a little bit louder, and I like that. Says it a little bit longer. It kind of draws out some of the meaning of the words. In fact, I've heard some of the ladies say, this is the women's translation. It's got more words than the men's translation does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7 starts out in the Amplified. It says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. You ever look at a couple that's been married for over 50 years, which I'm looking at a couple on the front row right now that's been married over 50 years, that has endured some struggles and some conflicts. The reason why they were able to bear up under anything and everything that came was because of love. It says it's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Sometimes we get this mentality like, if you do me wrong first time, that's a freebie, but next time you are cut off. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? And yet the Bible says that love will believe the best. Jesus said to Peter, right? Peter comes to him and he thinks he's saying something smart. And he says, hey, how many times should I forgive my brother if he comes to me? Up to 7 times a day. That sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? 7 times? I mean, that's way past 2. And Jesus says, no, but I say to you, if he comes to you and he's repentant, and he's willing to change, and he's humbling himself to come to you and say, I messed up, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He says, I say up to 7 times 70. Oh my goodness, that's like, if you do the math, once every other minute. That's something that would just get on my nerves, right? And yet here God is saying, love will believe the best. You know, sometimes we get so cynical in our society. We get just, you know, I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything anyone says. Why? Because the media has been lying to us, and television has been lying to us, and we've had people that have lied to us online, and they've shown what their life is supposed to be, and yet we know that on the background, you know, behind the scenes, not looking at their highlight reel, their life is a mess. And everything's been a lie, and yet we have a hard time believing the best. When somebody says, be patient with me while I change, and you know what, I didn't want to do this, and please forgive me, and yet the Bible says to believe the best. See, love will believe the best when you see people going the wrong direction rather than just abandon them and say, well, that's just how they're going to be. I guess the kids are just going to go south. They're not going to be a Christian like me. I guess the neighborhood just is going to hell in a handbasket and there's nothing we can do. No, love will believe the best. Love rises up in faith and says, that's not how it's going to be. That may be how it is right now, but that's not how it's going to stay. Love believes the best of every person. I love this. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Over here on the front row, Dr. Becker is here in the house, and he was burned over 70% of his body. And here is his wife sitting next to him who endured long hospital visits and weeks and months of treatments and different things, all for love. See, love will bear up under any and all circumstances, no matter how adverse they are. Love will go through. That's why when we say the vows, right, in sickness and in health, in rich and in poverty, no matter what comes, if we're in love, we're in this together. Love stays in the fight. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything. And I love how the Amplified this right here, without weakening. Without weakening. See, our flesh may fail, our minds may falter, and yet the power of love is the power of God flowing through us. And God never fails. He never fades away. God never weakens. His arm is not short. His strength is not sapped. Our God is a God of infinite power and strength. And when we operate in love, then our hopes will never fade, and we will endure everything without weakening. Look at verse number 8, the first three words. Love never fails. Oh, come on, somebody needs to get excited about that. Because the world is failing around us. We've tried their way. We've tried their anecdotes. We've looked into the things of this world and we've found them wanting. That's why we're here in church, is because we're searching for the answer to the mystery. But I'm here to declare to you, the answer of the mystery is the love of God expressed in Jesus Christ. And his love never fails. Man may fail you. Money may fail you. Your strength may fail. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my life forever and ever. His love never fails. It never fails. There's a Swedish proverb that says, love me when I least deserve it, because that's when I need it most. We need to love the unlovable. We need to reach beyond our borders. We need to reach out with the love of God. Love gives us the power to endure even the wrong actions and motives of others. That's why the Bible says that love will cover the multitude of sins. It may be stacked against you. You may be having a hard time in your marriage because there have been so many offenses, and they've been compounded over the years. And a simple I'm sorry no longer works because you're waiting to see the results. But listen, love never fails. You start to love them. I had a woman yesterday crying out there in the foyer. I don't know what to do with my husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, respect him, honor him, and love him, because love never fails. If you're in there with God, and if the love of God is in you, it's being expressed in your life, love will endure every conflict. Love will endure every trial. Love will wrestle. Love will pray. Love will go the extra mile. Love will run in the heat to find its love. Second thing that I see in Colossians chapter number 2, and this time in verse number 2, look at what it says. He says that their hearts may be encouraged. He's wrestling in prayer for these churches. Why? That their hearts may be encouraged. Look at this. Being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. The second thing that I see in this verse is this. It says that love will encourage us. Don't you just feel good when you know that you're loved? You know, there have been days that I've been down. The days that I've had a hard day, maybe come home after a lot of trouble at work, a lot of pressure, a lot of issues, a lot of things that came up. Financial issues, staff issues, how are we going to do this? Numbers don't look like we want them to look like, right? Some of you guys know what that looks like. Some of you business owners is not making it. Don't know how you're going to do it. Lost the account. Some of you guys, you know, just looking around, and life can be discouraging. But when I come home and my kids come and give me a hug and say, Daddy, I love you. When I give my wife a kiss and she just says with a smile, I love you. Oh my goodness, that's all I need. Now I can go on that love alone for weeks just because somebody loves me. And you may be feeling lonely in this room and feel like no one loves you, but listen, God sent Jesus to die on a cross. And the Bible says he had your face in his mind. He was thinking about you. You were the joy that was set before him. Listen, when God looks at you, he's not frowning and angry and ready to strike like some of us have been led to believe. No, God looks at you with love. No matter how foolish we've been, no matter how far we walked away from him, listen, God may not approve of your actions, but God still loves you. And God will still receive you if you're willing to repent and come back to him. God loves you so much. Listen, if no one in the world ever loved you, if your parents forsook you, if you never knew your mom and dad, they abandoned you on the doorstep of a firehouse when you were a baby. God loves you. He knew that you were going to be here. He valued you. God still values you. God wants you. God wants to be with you. God wants you to be with him. God loves you. And you need to understand that because it's easy to get lost in the sea of faces. It's easy to get lost, hurt, broken, and abandoned because people will turn their backs on you. People will hate on you. People will say mean things out of their own hurt and their own expression. And yet, God looks at you with the eyes of love. And when we know that we're loved, when we know that there's love going on, doesn't it just encourage you? Heard the story of a man. He was working at a neonatal intensive care unit. He actually, as a baby, had been in that same intensive care unit. He was born a preemie. And he started working, and one of the coworkers came up and asked him his name, and he told the coworker his name, and she said, "Wait a second, I know that name. Why do I know that name?" "I don't know." And so they started to talk and realized that he had been born and had been in that same hospital, and that she was the nurse in the NICU. She still worked there to that day that had taken care of them, and now they're friends and coworkers. See, sometimes when we hear love like that, just little stories, little things, people connected, we just get encouraged. You know, I think that's why the news channels have finally caught on. We can only vomit on people so much. And after they tell you about the 16 murders at the gas station and the people going in people's houses and defrauding others and all the cruelty, and after they've bashed every politician that they can think of, right, then they give you a little snippet of some news story. And here's some good news for you. Now that we've vomited all over you and made a mess. Why? Because love encourages us. When you see these stories, when you understand that there actually is some good going on, and listen, the devil would like to deceive us that there's no good going on. And yet the love of God is moving on the earth. There are a people that have the love of God. And we need to be encouraged. We need to know that the love of God flows. Philemon chapter 1, verse number 7 in the Passion Translation, the Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon again from prison. And he's heard about what's going on. And look at what he says. He says, "Your love has impacted me and brings me great joy and encouragement. For the hearts of the believers have been greatly refreshed through you, dear brother." See, when you hear about somebody's love, you know, when I'm in church and I hear about somebody loving on someone else, there have been times where I've watched you guys and I get a little misty. Maybe there's a little dust in the room, I think, sometimes, because I watch people walk from one side of the auditorium to the other just to give someone a hug. Oh my goodness, that encourages me. There's times here at the altar where someone will walk up with tears in their eyes, and off in the sidelines, someone will recognize, "Man, my sister just got saved," or "My friend, I haven't seen them in years," and they run to the altar, and they embrace each other here at the altar. Oh, my goodness, it just encourages me. Why? Because love will encourage us. See, when you know that you're loved, it gives you strength. You feel that you can keep going. You feel like you can do anything and take on the world. Remember, there was a time where my wife and I had just bought our first home, and we still own that home. It's a beautiful little home in Redlands, and built in the 60s. And so, you know, after decades, it starts to run down. Things start to wear out. And so we had moved into the house, and first order of business when we moved in was my wife noticed that there was some wallpaper that depicted the arrival of Christopher Columbus in the Americas right as you walked in the door. And I said, "Honey, please, can we keep this?" And she said, "There ain't no way." No, I didn't ask. We just started ripping it out. It was like, "Here's the key." She said, "Thank you." And she started using the key to peel off the wallpaper. But in that house, we loved that house. We brought our daughter home to that house. It was a great house. And so after using the house for a little while, we noticed in the master bathroom, we'd flush the toilet, water would come out of the side. Thank goodness nothing else came out of the side, but just a little bit of water would come out of the side. And so I did what every young man does, right? I called my dad. "Dad, what is this, you know?" My dad says, oh, there's a little wax ring at the bottom of the toilet. All you got to do is, you know, drain the tank, turn the water off, all that kind of stuff, and then pull that off. You'll see the little wax ring. Pull that old cracked one off. Put a new one on. Probably cost you $5 at Home Depot. You know, go get your new wax ring. Pop it on there. Set it back up. Connect it. Fill the water back up. Good to go, right? So I said, perfect. Easy. I'll do it. My wife says, honey, are you sure? Of course, me being the man of the house, I said, of course I'm sure. Right? Never done this before. Never done any plumbing. You know, when I worked construction, I was the guy they handed the broom to and said, clean up after us. Let the big boys work, right? So I go down to Home Depot. I buy the wax ring. I come home. I turn the water off, drank the tank, right? Pull the thing off. Sure enough, that wax ring did not look like an O. It looked like a letter C. It had cracked, and the water was coming out of that side. So I pull the old wax ring off, throw it in the trash, pop on the new wax ring, set the toilet back on, the base, tighten it down, connect the water, fill it up, flush the toilet. My wife and I, in great anticipation, on the side of the toilet in the master bathroom, are looking, and wouldn't you know, lo and behold, no water. Praise the Lord, right? So me, I'm like, I'm good. Let's eat. You know, like it's dinner time. Let's just move on to the next thing. My wife is like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. You fixed the toilet. And I said, yeah. She says, well, my dad, you know, he's the general contractor. He hired people to do this stuff. He never did that stuff himself. If something was broke, he called the handyman to do it. You're the handyman. So she grabs a hold of me, hugs me, embraces me, and kisses me. Oh, I like that. She takes me by the hand into the living room and sits me in front of the TV and hands me the remote control and says, honey, watch whatever you want to watch. I'm there like a king on the throne with a scepter in his hand. She goes and cooks dinner. I smell meat cooking in the other room. A pleasing fragrance, well-pleasing to the Lord and to myself. I got chapter and verse on that in Genesis chapter 9. I have given you the flesh of all meat as food for you. I can eat it. She brings it to me and sets it in my lap and says, thank you, honey, for fixing the toilet. Don't you know, I was like, honey, I think the gate is a little bit wobbly. I think I need to go out there. I need to go buy some quick set, and I need to redig the post. Honey, did you notice over that window, the stucco's kind of cracking a little bit? I think I need to go get on that, right? Why? Because when I knew that I was loved, when I knew that somebody valued me, all of a sudden, it shoulders went back, head went up. See, when you know that you're loved, it encourages you. But guess what else? When you start to love someone else, it encourages them. You can speak life into somebody when you speak love into somebody. You can take somebody who is down and out, somebody who is discouraged, and you can lift them up with the love of God. You can lift them up with the love of a friend. You can lift them up with the love of a brother or a sister. You have the supreme power of the universe inside of you that when you express it, when you start to let the love of God flow in and through your life, it's going to build up and lift up the people in your world. Come on, somebody. I love it. Last thing is this, verse number 3. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 3. What will love do? Look at what he says. In whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Speaking of the love of the Father expressed to us, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. This is the last thing that love will do. Love will educate us. Love will give you an education that the world can't give. Love will teach you things that you cannot learn in any other book. There was a mystery at a retirement center in Northport, New York. A resident named Augie Angarami walked down the hall every day to check on another resident named Frank DiBella. Now, this was unusual given both Augie and Frank couldn't talk. They suffered from advanced dementia, and neither of them were able to communicate verbally. Yet a silent bond developed between these two men. In fact, it was so touching to the staff that they actually moved them into the same room eventually, these two men. Now, it was only after they moved them into the room that Augie's son, John, made a surprising discovery. By way of some old photos, he realized that these two men were a part of the same outfit during the Korean War. Now, Frank was a cook in the army outfit. And Frank was known for getting food that no one else could get. He would bring these guys steak. He really took care of these guys. In fact, he would bring food to the front lines of battle, which that was never required of a cook. And Augie was the medic. So here's Frank bringing food to these guys. He gets injured on the front lines of battle, and Augie is the one that nurses him back to health and that takes care of him. And here they are 60 years later, and Augie is still checking on Frank. Wow. See, there was a mystery going on, and yet love taught us the answer to the mystery, that beyond things that we don't understand with dementia and advanced mental health and that sort of a thing, that love still cares, that love still goes the extra mile, that love can still walk down a hallway and recognize an old friend. See, there is an education in love that we get, that when we start to operate in love, that goes beyond natural thought and natural thinking. In fact, in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 9, the apostle prays for the Philippian church. He says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment." See, we need to not just operate by calculating out the facts and adding up what things in the natural should take place. When you start to operate in love and when you start to add up and add in the value of love, it will make your decisions so much better. When you were getting ready to kill those children that God had blessed you with, when you start to add in love, you will stay your hand of vengeance, right? When you were getting ready to sign the divorce papers because you just couldn't put up with it any longer, and yet you knew God had called you to stay in the game, see, love will cause you to stay your hand. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances. Sometimes people get under condemnation when we talk about these things. I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances, and I'm not saying, especially the ladies, if you're being abused, you need to be safe. Understand the heart here. But if it's just because we can't work things out, hello, maybe it's time to let love help you make some decisions. Maybe it's time to start to operate in the supreme power of the universe where reasoning and reckoning couldn't bring you back together, but the love of God could bring you back together. See, there might be something going on. Maybe you didn't know how to witness to somebody. Maybe you didn't think that ever you could make a difference on the workplace. I've had so many people come to me and they say, "Pastor, I've tried sharing with my family. I've tried telling them the message. I've given them the scriptures. I've told them I prayed for them. And I've actually made appointments to sit down with them and talk to them about their salvation and their eternal life. And yet they've rejected me. They've been angry with me. They finally had enough of me. And they've told me, don't ever preach to me again. I don't want to hear about your God. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. I don't want to hear about your Bible. I don't want to hear none of that. If you're not talking to me about your life, your work, your kids, or something else, I don't want to talk to you. Stop it." And they say, "Pastor, what do I do?" And you know what I tell them? Then here's what you do. You love them. Because love will break down the walls where you couldn't get through with reasoning and reckoning and preaching and all that stuff. Love will pierce through the darkest heart. The love of God can get through to the most hardest of hearts, like water that seeps through great giant mountains and rocks. The love of God can permeate the most hardened heart. You just love them. You just continue to love them. You just love them the best that you know how to love them. You just let the love of God flow through your life into them. And as you love them, there's going to come a time where they say, "You know what? This isn't working. You know what? I'm going through a hard time and I need somebody to stand with me." You know what? There's going to be a time that comes where they will hit rock bottom and they don't know which way is up, but they know somebody that loves them and they're going to go to you and say, "What do I do? What can you tell me? Can you pray for me?" Whereas they rejected your prayers before, now they're asking for your prayers. There's going to come a time, if you will just hold on and endure the conflict in love, that God will turn that around, because love is the greatest power of the universe, and that love encouraging, that love building, eventually will be that love reaching and that love preaching. Love will give us the education that we need. Blaise Pascal said, "Love has reasons which reason cannot understand." We understand that. We see that when people gather together. In fact, if you just ask people how they got engaged, "Junior, how did you get engaged?" "At a yard sale." raising money to help pay the church off. You got engaged. Why? Because you love the woman, right? See, love has reasons that reason doesn't understand, but that meant something to you guys. That was a big deal. Listen, I got engaged in an Applebee's. Of all the places on the planet that I could have chosen, well, I did have other places, but they kept getting ruined. But we went back to the place where we first had a conversation. We went back to the table where she was laughing at a friend and spit her nachos all over her best friend. Love has reasons that reason does not understand. See, love knows how to bring people together who are at odds. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. If you want to know how to bring the races and how to bring the cultures and how to bring the Democrats and the Republicans and the independents together, if you want to know how to bring our society back together again, it's not through a politician, it's not through a system, it's not through a man, it's only through the power of love in operation. That's what's going to change our nation. That's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to light this church on fire and for revival to spread is the love of God going out of this place. I have a sister-in-law. She's wonderful, beautiful, godly woman. She's raising her three boys, and she's doing a great job with that. When she first came, she was the only daughter of Pastor Jim before he had met Deborah and they had their children together. And she had been in Las Vegas. She had rejected the message of the gospel for years until she hit rock bottom. She knew that Dad loved her. So she called up, and my wife Jessica at the time answered the phone and heard her voice on the other end of the phone. And that night they went and they got her. Started coming to church. Pastor Deborah tells a story that she was in the home, and yet she was still living like Las Vegas, right? And so here's Pastor Deborah concerned for her two kids and what's the influence going to be and what's going to happen. And they're at odds, they're fighting, and she didn't want to be the overbearing stepmother and that sort of a thing. And God spoke to her these words that have become a mantra for our church. He said, you just love her to life, don't condemn her to death. And it was the love of God that broke down the walls. It was the love of God that encouraged these two together. It was the love of God that now they're having family dinners and she calls her mom and things are going well and she comes for advice and she's able to continue to work and to operate in love. And maybe you've been hitting a wall. Maybe you've been at odds. Maybe there have been some challenges in your life. But if you will love people to life and not condemn them to death, the love of God will work every time. When you don't know how to reach someone, love does. When you don't know how to express yourself, love will teach you the words. If you don't know what to do, love will give you each and every step of the way. Let love, the love of God, lead your decisions in life. Today, what did we learn? We learned that love will do some things. Love will, number one, love will endure conflict. Second thing we learned is that love will encourage us. And finally, we learned that love will give us an education that the world just can't give. If you got something from the word of the Lord today, come on, give God a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.